man, he that is in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion, running to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so. Many souls have been his prey, to fall in some weak hour. But God has promised up today his overcoming power. Let's all stand. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room, baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I got it too. I wanna let the whole world know. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Sing a chorus one more time. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Brother Jonas, will you come this evening? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Man, Brother Jonas takes up the offering this evening. We appreciate all the young people. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to sing 52 in the Black Notebook. I just want to take a little bit of time this evening. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Put your hands together. Well, the whole world roams in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. The whole world roams in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. Well, the world is born in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. That's just how he loves you and me. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Well, you're working about this and you're running about that. You seem so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working about this and you're running about that. You seem so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you're running about that. You seem so busy from morning to night. comes right down. Praise the Lord with all of your might. Put them louder here. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. I like this right here. Well, the train's at the station and I want to go home. I got the children getting ready to leave. Well, the train's at the station, I want to go home. I got the children getting ready to leave. Well, the train's at the station and I want to go home. I got the children getting ready to leave. The engineer's got the whistle, people singing, only believe. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Praise the Lord. One more time. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory. Give it. Give it to the Lord. Amen. 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 That's, we have a special this evening. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. We're going to do two. Let me get a mic set. How many mics do you need?
Then you have a special.
Only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. So roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy, the scars in hand. Yet he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I can't understand. So roll back the curtains of memory now and show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Oh, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord.
Amen. Let's all stand. We change over service this evening. Appreciate all the young people. I remember when Ashley and the kids were getting up. One day, Ashley got up here and she got stage fright. And it's a long time in church when things don't happen. You're thinking, oh, my God. So I just pushed Janet out in the aisle, off the pew into the aisle, and said, you got to go help her. So I appreciate the young people. And they're getting up here in confidence, amen, because they love the Lord, and that's why they do it. Amen? We appreciate them. We are so talented as a church with the youth. Amen. And singing, of course. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
To be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Trust that you're happy to be in the house of God. Continue to pray for Brother Ray this afternoon and the days to come. Any new word on him? Anything new? Okay. You just continue to pray for him. Yeah. Just remember, because the heart trouble isn't nothing to mess with, so. And just remember also Sister Kathy as well. Lord, give her strength. And the kids, the children as well. It's good to have my sister here with us this afternoon. She sang especially with the kids. They came in yesterday and stayed the night with us last night. And so decided to stay the rest of the day and come to church. Amen. So just pray for them as they'll be heading back to South Carolina here this after the service. And also, it's good to have our sister here with us once again. Seen you in a while. Yes, it's good to have you here with us again with your son. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to take too much time with preliminaries. I want to go ahead directly to the Word because I have a lot of content here. And now, when we go over this content, it might seem like it may seem like it's a lot. And, of course, it takes a while to get all this together, and it probably doesn't even do it any service or favor, you know, justice, because it's a very expansive topic, and it's just hard to cover this in just one Wednesday night, you know. But we'll just see how the Lord leads us. But I know Brother Wade, he's been bringing out about the dimensions, and he's been talking about hell. Maybe about a year and a half or two ago, I was talking to a coworker about hell, and how if in the nominal world it's so foreign to them to think that hell is not eternal. And so, but to us, you know, especially those who grew up in the message, we have always heard that, but yet sometimes we can't even explain it. We hear hell is not eternal. But we don't know where to find it in the scripture. Don't know where to find it in the message. So I got to searching and I got to looking in the Word, and just the different. I mean, it just all ties in together so beautifully. And so hopefully by the help of the Lord tonight, maybe the Lord will help you see something tonight that you haven't seen before, and how it ties in with eternal life. I mean, this all involves eternal life. Again, the topic is. Why hell is not eternal? It's a topic that in the nominal world, you know, they believe that it is. And they strongly believe that, especially the Trinitarian people. When I was in the nominal world, I thought that there was an eternal hell. But let's see what the prophet says and the Word says about this, okay? So let's just bow our heads and you pray for me, amen? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord Jesus, once again, thanking you for your Word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to roll back the pages of your Word, Lord God. We know that you are the author of your Word, Lord, and you wrote the Word, Father. And you know, Father God, that we need revelation in order to understand fully, Father God, the treasures that are found therein, Lord. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you just reveal it to us, Father God, and help us, Father God, to receive something that would help us, Lord Jesus, in our Christian walk. Be with Brother Ray, Father, tonight, Lord God. Continue to strengthen him and Touch his body, Lord Jesus. Oh, come down, Father God, and just minister to him where he's at, Father, and just comfort Sister Kathy and the family as well during this time, Lord, and in the days ahead, Father God. All the other ones, Lord, that Satan, Father God, is just on a rampage, Father. Sister Cleta and all the different ones, Lord, we still continue to pray for them and just be with them, Lord, and just continue to strengthen their bodies, Father. We just commit ourselves this time into your hands now. We ask you these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. And the brothers, they have that little PowerPoint. So we're just going to do a teaching tonight. And so you just bear with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says, "And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I want you to take notice that when Jesus is speaking here, he's talking about at the time of the white throne judgment. This is the time when you're either going to get in by works or good works or not. That's if you don't get eternal life here on this side, this is the only chance that you have.
Right.
And you're either going to get in by good works or if there's no good works, you're just not going to get in. So this is what Jesus is talking about here. Verse 35, "For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me."
Amen.
"Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Amen. "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me not meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister unto thee?" Notice how both parties called him Lord. Because in that day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous," look at the differentiation here, "but the righteous into life eternal." Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So you may be seated. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So in looking at this topic, the next slide, brothers, you can see that I took a screenshot here of a search I did on Google. And this is just some of the books that are out there on this topic. Apparently, it's a very popular topic. People are interested in hell.
Right.
People are interested in is it real? Is it not real? Amen. For you and me, if it's in the Word, it's real. But for the secular world out there, and for the nominal world out there, who kind of does the psychological thing, you know. They have to, you know, write the books and kind of try to explain things. And who knows, some of it might be for money as well. But it's a topic that people are interested in. Amen. It's among Christians and non-Christians. Now, next slide. Hell is also known in the Bible as Hades. Go ahead and click, brother. Hades, which is the Greek word for hell. It is the word Hades. And then also it's known in the Bible as Sheol, or Sheol, next, just click again. Sheol, and that is the Hebrew word for hell as well. So it's mentioned in the Bible in these three forms. Amen. Now, the next slide. We're going to go go through here quickly because it's got some things here. Go to, you know, and all that. But this is the meaning of hell. A nether world in which the dead continue to exist. The nether realm of the devil and the demons in which condemned people suffer everlasting punishment. This is what the world believes. See? A place or state of misery, torment, or wickedness. Amen. A place or state of turmoil or destruction. Now, personally, just get down to the point. Personally, I believe hell is a place. Now, Brother Wade, he's been talking about this, but it is a dimension. It's the realm of the lost. Amen. And to me, the way I see it, according to when you read the message, it's almost as if a person is like, it's a continuing falling, and you can't ever get away from that. In other words, it's almost like, for example, maybe whatever the thing that you dreaded the most in life is probably what's coming on you 24/7, nonstop. Let's just say sometimes kids are scared of these little cartoons and these little things that you know, nowadays, you know, Zoe sometimes and Bella show me some what is it, hornhead or... I don't remember anyways. But imagine some lanky thing that's got two big old siren head and things like that. Just imagine that 24/7, nonstop, just coming at you. I would say that's hell. Amen. It's not necessarily, you know, the devil, you know, with a pitchfork, you know, hitting you in, you know, in the back, you know, anything like that. It's not anything like that. That's what the Hollywood has presented. And it's what they made us think as we grew up, you see. But hell is a place of torment, and it's a constant. I don't know who would want to be in a position like that. I mean, you put yourself in a place, for example, if you're having a nightmare, and that just might be a few minutes. Imagine that nightmare consistently, nonstop. That's hell. Amen. Next slide. Now Hades, this is what Hades means, is the Greek god of the underworld, the underground abode of the dead in Greek mythology. And this is supposedly Hades. Hades is always pictured with a three-headed beast of some sort. Now, where do you think that they got the pitchfork idea? That's where they got it from. And sometimes they paint Hades, which is a Greek god, with three forks on the pitchfork, or it's just two. So, next slide. And then Sheol, which is the Hebrew way of looking at hell, is the abode of the dead in the early Hebrew thought. So, that's the definition of that. Next slide. All right, I put this in because I thought this was interesting. Did you know that in Greek mythology, Hades is both the land of the dead and the god who rules there? Hades, the god who the Greeks also called Pluto, is the brother of Zeus and Poseidon. This is Zeus, who ruled the skies and the seas. Zeus in Greek mythology, he's God. I mean, that's God. Now, where do you think that we when the early Christians in Catholicism, they adopted Christianity, they got it from these things. They got it from Greek mythology and Roman beliefs and things like that. So, but it's interesting that in the Greek mythology, Hades and Zeus were brothers. Now, Satan in the Bible, it was the closest thing to God. Remember what I believe it's in Ezekiel that it talks about? He says he was beautiful. Made perfect in every way. He was decorated beautifully. So, amen. Satan is not an ugly being. He's not somebody with a pitchfork. He's an angel of light. He can transform himself as an angel of light. That's why he's so deceiving. Amen. He's the closest thing. And so when he was talking to Eve, and telling her, hey, surely you will not surely die. Because... you know, if you eat thereof, you know, you'll become as gods, knowing right and evil. And Eve not realizing that they were already gods. Amen. And he was telling her that they'll become as gods, you see? So he's very deceptive, but it's very interesting that in Greek mythology, that was the belief as well. So next slide. See, everything has a. I always tell people everything has a root. You know, you watch a movie, and it's like Brother Trevor was talking the other day. You know, you watch a movie, or you listen to a song, or you do something like that. It has a root. Somebody got something. That idea has come from somewhere. And it wasn't just something that just came. It has a root from somewhere. So these ideas come from root. A poll. I'm just going through these real quick so that you can understand the what people think of hell in the time that we're living in. In 2014, they did a poll to Christian or a lot of people in America about if they believed in hell. 58% believed in hell in 59% believed in hell in 2007. In 2014, 58% believed in hell. It went down. And then down here in the grays, the ones who don't believe, 30% in 2007, it went up to 34% in 2014. And I'm sure it's higher now.
Amen.
Next slide. This is the belief of hell amongst religious groups. If you want this information, you can come to me. I'll be more than glad to give it to you. I used to be a Jehovah's Witness, so I know this is true. 7% of them only believe in hell because they don't believe in hell. They believe that when you die, that's it. You are completely annihilated. You're completely destroyed. And because they believe that the ones remaining are the 144,000 that will be here or left on earth. So evangelical Protestants, 82% believe in hell. 11% don't believe. And they're supposed to be evangelical Protestants. The ones who are supposed to believe in the Bible. But yet there's people amongst the same Christians that don't even believe in hell. That read the same Bible that you and I do that talks about it, but yet don't believe in it. Historically black Protestants. There's 12% of them that don't even believe in hell. So this is very interesting. Next slide. Now, this is the generational cohort by belief in hell. This is, for example, younger millennials who don't believe in hell is 16%. The ones that believe is 13%. Older millennials, 16% don't believe. The ones that do believe, 14%. But now watch Generation X. Generation X, next slide, I'm going to show a chart of what these generations are. Generation X is the generation that's being raised right now at this very moment. For example, my daughter Bella, Zoe, my daughters, they're considered Generation X. 27% do not believe in hell. This was in 2014, and I'm sure it's higher now. So the belief in it is constantly going lower and lower. Even baby boomers are starting to doubt now. It's just Satan. He's on a rampage right now. Amen. Next slide. And so real quick, the ones that were born between 1928 to 1945 are called the silent generation. That would be you, Brother Dale. Yeah. Sister Cleta, Sister Peggy. Amen. The ones born between 1946 and 1964 would be the baby boomers. That would be you, Brother Wade. Amen. 1980, that's me. We're considered Generation X. That's between 1965 to 1980. I was born in 1980. That's Generation X. They should be ages 39 to 54. Millennials are born between 1981 to 1996. And then, of course, from 1997 to 2012 is Generation Z. Generation Z. So that would be our younger children. That's Generation Z, which in the previous slide, if you want to go back to that slide, it's Generation X right here. That would be that's actually my generation. So, next slide. So if Generation X is not even believing in hell, can you imagine? You know, Generation Z that's growing up right now. That's what we got to pray for our children. Keep them in the Word, saints. Do everything you can for them. Don't just let them, just free roam and let the internet take care of them. You are supposed to take care of them. Amen. You're supposed to put lock, controls in what they watch and what they see, and because it's going to indoctrinate them. You see, and eventually they'll come out and they'll say, "Hey, I don't believe this anymore. I don't, you know." Don't be surprised if you didn't do your part. I'm just being raw with you. You know, and you might have done your part. But again, it boils down to a thing that it has to be between them and God. Amen. It's a relationship between them and God. Now let's go to the nitty gritty. Let's define the word eternal. Amen. So the next slide. And in the Strong's Concordance is the word ionos, and that is means perpetual, eternal, forever lasting. Next slide. And this is from Thayer's Dictionary. It means without beginning and end, that which always been and always will be. Amen. Praise God. We all know that. Amen. If you have God's life in you, which is His eternal life, if you have God's Spirit dwelling in you, amen, by the new birth, amen, you have God's own life in you. Right. That means your soul, amen, that never have a beginning, never has an end, amen, because His Spirit's dwelling in you.
Amen.
Amen. Without beginning, amen, without end, never to cease. Now, it says everlasting, and in these definitions, they use everlasting back and forth, back and forth. And that's how the Bible uses it, back and forth. So you have to read it and know what it's talking about. We're going to read some quotes here. But Brother Branham says something really good in the Church Age book about this. Next slide. Now let's read Matthew 25:41. We just read it. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I want you to understand that hell and... In this case, this is the lake of fire, because this is during the white throne judgment. All that was not prepared for you and I. It was not prepared for humans. It was not prepared for animals. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. And because it was prepared, that means it has a beginning. And if it has a beginning, that means it's got to have an end, right? The only thing that doesn't have a beginning is God's eternal life, or God Himself, and it doesn't have an end either. Because whatever doesn't have a beginning doesn't have an end. Whatever started has to end. Amen? That's why I always say problems, we all go through problems, but problems are not eternal. Thank God for that. they have a beginning, that means they gotta have an end. Now, it could be maybe 10 years down the road. I don't. Could be 3 seconds. It could be 10 minutes. I don't know. But if it's a problem here on this life, it's going to have an end. Amen. Praise God. So, Brother Ray, right now, there's a problem going on. He's got eternal life. Amen. There's no issue. Amen. If the Lord decides, if it's time to, his time to go, amen, He's better off than we are. Amen. But it has an ending. It has an ending. Every problem has an ending. So let's not worry. Let's say, Lord, yes, it's tough. It's hard. We all go through problems. But you always keep in mind, this always helped me. This has an end. This has an end. This has an end. Amen. So the lake of fire was not prepared for you and me. It's prepared for Satan and his angels. Matthew 25:46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now notice how Jesus is making a distinction between the ones that go into everlasting punishment and the ones who have received life eternal.
Amen.
See, if the ones that were to go to everlasting punishment, why didn't Jesus use the same wording if they were to be there for eternity, just like the righteous they're supposed to be? You see, He didn't use life eternal. He could have said, and these shall go into life eternal, in life eternal punishment. But He didn't say that.
Nope.
He said the everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Amen.
He makes a distinction between two things.
Right.
So it's not the same thing. Now we're going to look at the word everlasting here in just a moment. Next. So in verse 41, hell, or in this case also the lake of fire, was not prepared for man, but for the devil and his angels.
Right.
Next. I think it's enough, some more that comes up. Yes. In verse, you like this animation? In verse 46, Jesus makes a clear distinction between the outcome of the unrighteous and the righteous.
Right.
You see? There's a distinction there. Next. Just hit it again. All right. And the same Greek word was used in that verse. There has to be a clear distinction between both parties regarding their life.
Right.
Look, listen to this. Otherwise, both parties would end up with eternal life
right.
and the same reward.
Yeah. Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. You believe in eternal hell because you were told there was an eternal hell. But when you start looking, digging down in the Word, amen, you realize, wait a second, it can't be this way. Next slide. Now, this is the word everlasting, amen, the definition of the word everlasting. Lasting or enduring through all time. It could be, because the word uses, the Bible uses it interchangeably.
Right.
But you have to know what it's talking about, because in the order of events of things, you see? Continuing for a long time. Or indefinitely.
Right.
You see, so it could be for a long time.
Right. Right.
The lake of fire is there for a long time, but eventually the Bible says that it's going to be destroyed.
Right.
It's going to be swallowed up. You see? Amen. Tediously persistent. So in the Oxford Dictionary, when you read that, it says lasting forever or a very long time.
Right.
So it gives a space of time.
Right.
It doesn't say just eternal. Man, there's a space of time.
Amen.
Again, you have to go back to verse 46 that we just read in Matthew 25. Jesus clearly made a distinction between the ones that were the lost and the ones that received eternal life. You see? And they go to two different places. If they have the same eternal life, why not go to the same place? You see? So, next slide. Let's see what the prophet says in the message, why I'm against organized religion. And there, you excuse me for all the yellow and all that, but, you know, hopefully it's getting your attention. And there's no scripture that says there is an eternal hell. Because eternal never did begin, neither does it ever end. So the Bible said hell was created for the devil and his angels, so it isn't eternal. There was a time when it wasn't. And there will be a time when it's not again.
Yep.
But they may be punished in there through fire and brimstone and the pits of fire for eons of time.
Amen.
All right? But it finally will end because hell is not eternal.
Right.
Hell is not, hell itself, or it can't be eternal.
Right.
You see? Eternity belongs to a person.
Amen. Exactly. Amen.
Eternity is a person.
Amen.
Therefore, it can't be inside a place, you know, and make that thing eternal. You see, it has to, eternity has to dwell in you. Amen.
It
has to dwell in a person. Next. Brother Branham continues here. And if there was an eternal hell, you'd have to have eternal life to live in an eternal hell. And if it was eternal, it always was, and you always was in hell, and you'll always be in hell. Now, what Brother Branham is talking about there is those of you who have eternal life. For example, if you have eternal life and if hell was eternal, then you'd always be part of that, of hell. But remember, hell was created for Satan and his angels. It has a beginning. God doesn't have a beginning. Amen. Are we understanding? Amen. I'm just kind of breaking down what the prophet's saying. Amen. See, there is no such a thing. It doesn't make any sense. But when you tell people this, I mean, it's just like they just don't get it. And you really come to a point where you realize, Lord, if it's not a revelation, people won't understand it. I mean, you could just give them all the data and you can give them bullet points and you could just like explain to them. But if it doesn't become alive in people's life, it'll just be like, I don't get it. I don't get it. And they feel like they're being deceived and that you're in a cult. I've had the same coworker think that I'm in a cult. He's like, man, everything you're telling me just sounds like a cult. What can you say there? So you see, eternal has never had a beginning or an end, and there's only one form of eternal life, and that is in God. All right? Comes from the Greek word zoe, which means God's own life. And when we are born again of the Spirit of God, we become eternal with God. Because we have part of His life, which makes us sons and daughters to God, then we have eternal life. Again, Brother Branham states, then we have eternal life. We don't come here with eternal life. Amen. We have to come to eternal life here in this life. Amen. You have to make a choice. That's why God gave us a free moral agency. You see, the ones that go to hell or the ones that die, the lost, they made their choice here. Their choice was not to serve God. The gospel probably was presented to them and they rejected it. At some point in time, maybe even Hitler came to that point. I know Hitler was involved a lot of things with the Catholic Church and things like that. Maybe at some point in time, it was presented to him, and maybe he didn't flat out reject it, but in his actions, he rejected it. And that's what caused his fall. Maybe some of us, we don't flat out say, no, I don't want the word. I don't want to serve God. I don't want to. You may not say it, but your actions display it. And it'll show your choice as to where you're heading after this life. Because we're all going to be heading somewhere. Somewhere, and eventually, once you get to that point, you're going to have to depend on the white throne judgment then to get you in. If you were good to mom and dad, or if you were good to an uncle or some neighbor or something like that, that was part of the bride, I don't want to get in on that. I want to know for sure now that I have the goods. I don't want to wait until I get to the train station, amen, and not have the ticket ready to go, amen. Get the ticket now, amen. Get ready now while time is still, while we're still in this time, amen. Next. Amen. Brother Brown continues saying here, questions and answers. See the difference? The wicked has everlasting punishment. In other words, it has an end to that. But everlasting is a space of time. Now, if it would have been the same, it would have been written, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. The other shall go away into everlasting life. See? Or they shall go away into eternal punishment, and the other one into eternal life. Talking about like the verse that we were just reading in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. See, if there is an eternal punishment to be punished forever and ever, then there's an eternal, he's got eternal life. The sinner has eternal life, just like you. Next. And the only one eternal life, and that comes from God. Look, everything without a beginning has no end. Everything with a beginning has an end. See what I mean? Amen. So, just explaining to what we were talking about. Amen. So, you should be the happiest people on earth. Amen. With eternal life in your soul. And that eternal life has got to be, it's got to translate into eternal life for your body, a redemption for your body. Going to manifest on the outside. We're heading towards that at this very moment. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And it'll come to its culmination. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, this is Jesus speaking, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So who is the source of eternal life? Jesus Christ. Who is God? Amen. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen. Once you're sealed in the kingdom of God, there's nobody. Satan can't even take you out. Satan will try his best, but he can never pluck you out of his hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Next slide. Now, John chapter 12, verse 25. Again, we're going through a lot of reading, but just be patient with me. Amen. And I'm just kind of trying to keep things in order. Amen. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world, in other words, in this life that you're living in, shall keep it unto life eternal. I preached a message, amen, I think I titled it, amen, I want to be a loser, do you? But this is what I want to lose. I want to lose my life so that I can gain his. Amen? Lose everything that I am. Amen. That's carnal. Everything that comes against the word of God, that I may gain him. Amen. Is what Paul said. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, let's just read it like this. For the wages of unbelief is death. Because that's what sin is unbelief. In other words, that's your reward, is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. The gift of God, when you believe his word, amen, take it in, and Lord, that's for me. I accept it. Amen. Eternal life. Praise God. Watch, through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the Baptist church, we quote this all the time. But you know, now, Brother Dale, it's become more real to me. Now when you understand, amen, about eternal life and your soul and everything, it just, it's a good verse to kind of get people saved. You see? And they tell you this, you know, it's a good. But then when you really read it and look at it and say, Lord, thank God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, who have we believed in? Amen. It's in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Next. All right, so these last verses that we were just reading tie with this verse. Now we're going down to Revelation chapter 20. And the sea gave up, verse 13. And the sea, we're talking about the first death and second death. Now, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. This is what's going to happen just right before the white throne judgment. Amen. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Amen. After the judgment, amen, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now, so the lake of fire has to be something separate from hell. It can't be hell. But you see, in the nominal world, it's used interchangeably. And people get confused. They think that the lake of fire is hell and that hell is the lake of fire. It's two different things. Right. Hell is thrown into the lake of fire. Exactly. So is death. Yep. Hell and death is thrown into the lake of fire. And not only that, the unbeliever who didn't make it through the white throne judgment is also thrown in there. Not only that, Satan is also thrown in there. False prophet and all these different ones, they're going to be thrown in there to what? To be completely annihilated. Right. And whosoever was not found, watch, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I would rather, if I was a sinner, you know, an unbeliever, I'd rather have eternal life burning in hell, but to be completely annihilated, to exist no more, that's actually worse. That's worse than to be burning, you know, forever, but you have eternal life. Doesn't make any sense. There has to be a complete annihilation. Sure, the fact that Hitler died and God be the judge, but let's say Hitler might be in a constant hell right now. Judas, for example, Bible says that he was the son of perdition. In other words, the son that was to be lost. He's right now in a constant hell right now. It could be right now that what he did, the betrayal, is constantly just being displayed in front of him. And it's just a constant, that's a hell. That's a torment. But that torment has to cease because they will be thrown into the lake of fire if they don't make it through the white throne judgment. So is that I hope that's understanding. Amen. Next slide. All right, so next, I think we have some things. All right, so the first death, it is the death that you die after your life leaves this earth. Now, the Bible doesn't mention first death, but every time it talks about this death, it just mentions death. So it is the first death. Whenever we pass away from this life, it is death. It's the first death. Next. Go ahead, brother. The second death. It is death that takes place in the lake of fire, which is not hell. So we just established because hell is thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. Next slide. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate you all are listening so nicely. I don't see anybody sleeping yet. That's awesome. It's great. Let me do more animations. Amen. So the second death, this second death is complete annihilation because death and hell go into this lake of fire as well. Complete annihilation. Now we're going to look at something here because all souls belong to God. Amen. This is where death, first death, hell, and all unrighteous will be completely destroyed, never to ever exist again. That's a scarier thought than anything, than even eternal hell. To never see, to cease to exist. To never, not even be in the mind of God, you know, in the mind of God, not even to be in the mind of anybody ever again. Satan's coming to that point.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Next. But he just wants to take everybody he can with him. He knows these scriptures are there talking about him, whether he believes them or not. I mean, I believe he does, but he knows he's sealed to death. Hebrews 12:28-29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, receiving a kingdom that is the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's God's eternal life. For our God is a consuming fire. So, as they say, the buck stops with God. Everything. Amen. He is the creator. He did create, amen, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Dale, but he did create the lake of fire. He did create these places, amen, that they, but they're not eternal. Amen. They're the stopping place for the unrighteous, and they're the stopping place for hell, death, and Satan. Amen. Next. Because God is a just God. He's got to punish evil, amen. He's got to completely do away with unbelief, amen. Ezekiel 18:4. Watch what God says here. Behold, all souls are mine. That includes the sinner out there, not just the Christian. Even the sinner out there, those souls belong to God, amen. And there's something I put here in just a moment that you'll see. Those souls, they belong to God, but don't necessarily mean that they're part of God. You see what I'm saying? The souls, all souls belong to God. Let me say that again, but don't necessarily are part of God. Amen. Once you receive eternal life in your soul, you're part of that God. You're part of the eternal life. Amen. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, watch, it shall die. Not that it may die or it may be. No, it shall die. So let's read it like this. The soul that unbelieves the word, it shall die. Amen? And what is die? To completely annihilate. That's what that word die in that verse means. To completely, in other words, to completely be eradicated. To not exist anymore. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body. This is Jesus speaking. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't fear man. Amen. But fear God. Fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Amen. And when you look that word destroy right here, because you could think, you know, that that's where everything ends. Remember, hell is thrown into the lake of fire. But when you look this word destroy right here, it means to render useless, mar, separation. So in hell, you're completely separated. Amen. In a constant torment. In a constant torment. Amen. So don't fear man. Don't fear what's going on right now. Fear God. Amen. A lot of people fearing what everything is going on here on the outside and maybe the things that we experience on the outside. And then we neglect our spiritual life. We neglect praying. We neglect reading. Amen. I do it. Amen. We neglect the things that will take us, amen, to a closer walk with Him. Amen. Next. All right. So if, now watch this. So if God is a consuming fire and all souls are His, that means that He can do whatever He wants with man's souls. Right? You get that? They're all His. He can do whatever He wants to do. There are souls that will utterly and completely be destroyed by this lake of fire who he is the source of. Amen. Which God is the source of. This is because of the choice that those souls made here on earth. We all have free moral agency. We all choose if we want to serve God or we want to reject God. Amen. All souls belong to God, but all souls are not part of God. What makes you part of God is the belief in His Word. Amen. You receiving Jesus Christ. Amen. Receiving that Word. Amen. In your life. In your soul. Next. So if those souls, hell and death, are all eternal, then that means God lives in hell and in death and in those souls that are to be destroyed. We know he doesn't. If they're eternal, then that means God is part of death. God is part of hell. God is part of all these things. But it doesn't make any sense. Right? We know this is not the case because light, who God is the source of, and darkness cannot dwell together. Amen. And we know that light is God's own life. Amen. God's own life. Next. Amen. I believe this is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Let me just stop here for just a moment and let me say something. This is why the Bible talks about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Because their destination, the destination of the unbeliever, is death. Complete annihilation. So why would a Christian, amen, want to be yoked with somebody who doesn't even believe in life? They don't even understand life. Maybe they've rejected life verbally by their actions. Maybe they just don't know. But when they're not saved, they're not born again, why would you want to partake in that? That means that you are part of that death. You're a part of that darkness, because light and darkness cannot coexist. When I became a Christian, I could not continue with the friends that I used to have. Brother Wade, I'm sure the same thing with you. You couldn't continue with your drinking buddies. I can't continue with the people because we are not compatible anymore. They talk about death. I mean, they're not talking about death. But I mean, that's what's coming out of their life. That's what they're expressing. But here I am. I'm trying to express life. And it's incompatible. And that's why a Christian and a non-Christian who are like boyfriend and girlfriend going out, that means they're both of the same. They believe the same thing. If you're going along with the person and just hanging out and you nothing bothers you, amen, that means you're part of the same mold. I'm sorry to say. But that's the truth. Now, somebody might say, well, you know, they finally will eventually come, you know, and become Christians. You don't know that. Why would you want to play with something that's not even sure? I want to play with something sure. Amen. I want to play with light. Amen. So that's eternal. That's sure. Amen. But why would I want to mess with something that's insecure? Why would you want to go inside a vehicle? Maybe I'm talking to our young people. Why would you want to go inside a vehicle that you know, amen, the tires are kind of half loose, you know? And take a trip to Alabama. And like, you know that car, something's going to happen, but yet you still get in it. We still get in it. Us adults, we still get into situations that are rocky and insecure, but yet we still encourage it. We still fall into it. Got to be careful. That's why the Bible clearly says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Those that are heading to a certain destination. But sometimes we just encourage it and we just, and then we wonder, why is my son or my daughter going the same route? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship? There's no righteousness. There's nothing for me to discuss with an unbelieving girl. I'm trying to be a servant of God as a Christian with an unbelieving girl. I don't know what compatibility is there. And what communion hath light with darkness? I am not saying this. It's the Bible telling you this. You get mad with the word if it hurts. I hope it does. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial was a god that they used to worship back then. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? It doesn't make any sense. That's why when you see, for example, you thought this is a Christian going out with such and such a person, you question it. Because it doesn't make any sense. That means they're just, somebody's pulling somebody else. And most of the time, it's the non-Christian pulling the so-called Christian. Next. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now watch, going back to who has this eternal life and who doesn't. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life. That word eternal life there is Zoe. Amen. They don't have eternal life abiding in him. A murderer doesn't have eternal life abiding in him, right? 1 John 5:11, verse 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, Zoe. And this life, Zoe, is in his Son. It's not in anybody else. It's not in any other program. It's in Christ. Amen? In his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, Zoe. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's clear as day, right? Amen. You're part of God, you have eternal life. You're not part of God, you don't have eternal life. And what is your destination? It's death.
Amen.
Praise God. Next. Brother Branham says, you might wonder now when you can use that word eternal and not use it the way we have been taught. That is easy. When it applies to God, it means to be without beginning or end and ever enduring and never ceasing. And when you talk of eternal life, you have that in mind, which is the life of God. This is the record that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in the Son. We just now read that verse. He that hath the Son hath life. Now then, only sons of God have life eternal. The kind that never had a beginning, but always was. That means they're not destined to a hell. All right? They're not destined to a lake of fire. Why? Because that eternal life has already conquered all that. That eternal life in you has conquered all that already. Amen. Praise God. Next. Brother Bram says here, you have something in you right now that is eternal. Without beginning or end, it is the Spirit of God. Amen. It is part of God Himself. It is the life of God.
Amen.
Amen. So how can that life exist in hell? Now, if a sinner is going to go to hell and then suffer the same as you are going to heaven and enjoy heaven, then he has the same kind of life you have already. Amen. Praise God. So it can't be. It can't be. It just doesn't make any sense that a sinner is enjoying eternal life, the same eternal life that you and I have, because eternal life comes from the same source. And that's God. Amen. Next. All right. Now, Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to go a little quicker here. Revelation chapter 20. Satan is to be cast into the lake of fire. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this is not hell. This is the lake of fire. This is the second death. Okay? Yeah. And brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, this is where they ask you, but look what it says there. It says forever, day and night, forever and ever. All right, but let's keep reading. This is forever and ever, and this verse sounds like it's for eternity. But, next. In the same chapter, in just a few verses down, you read, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. This is coming into the white throne judgment. In other words, this is that the resurrection. Amen. That this is that resurrection of the and they're coming to be judged at the white throne judgment. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Right? Death and hell. In other words, the hell that they were in, let's just say Judas. Judas is in hell right now, right? In a constant torment. Now, I don't believe it's a physical place. I believe it's just a state. A state that it's in. He's in. They will be delivered from that. In other words, they will be taken from that and be brought. And they were brought to this white throne judgment. Amen? And they were judged every man according to their works. At that point, you're going to have to depend on the works that you did in order to get eternal life. Again, I don't want to play with something that's unstable. I don't want to get in an unstable vehicle. Amen. I want to get in something solid. I want to get in something solid right now. Amen. And death, and watch in verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. We already read this verse a while ago. This is the second death. Now, this is the death. This is where also the dead will go to as well when if they don't get eternal life in the white throne judgment. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. That's the second death. They had their first death. They went to hell. Now they're judged at the white throne judgment. And if they don't make it there, they're going to be annihilated completely. So that's the order of things.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad that God is in your life?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The believer is not destined to be at the white throne judgment to be judged. They will be judging, but not to be judged. You and I are going to be part of that judging. Because watch, the Bible says in one place, it says, don't you know that you and I will be judging angels? Amen. And some of these cases that for example, you changed, some unbeliever might have helped change your tire while you were a sister that didn't, you know, was not able to help herself as her tire went flat and an unbeliever came in. They gave you that cup of water. They helped you as a bride member. You will be part in that judge. You will be part of that to help give eternal life to that person. And they didn't even know it. They didn't even know. Next. Now let's compare Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 to this verse. Revelation 22, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, in the previous, in Brother Anderson or Brother Bob, can you go back to two slides. Previous. You see where it talks about Satan thrown, the devil deceived, thrown into the lake of fire, tormented day and night forever and ever? That same forever and ever is the same forever and ever in the verse that we just read. Amen. Let's just look at something here just a moment. Next. Amen. They shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Next. All right, the phrase forever and ever. Next. The phrase ever and ever sounds like it could just mean eternity, and even in the Greek it denotes that when you read it in the Greek. But it also means a space of time. And see below. This is the actual word, aeon. And it's forever, an unbroken age, perpetuity of time, eternity. The world's universe or a period of time or age. So those are the two same phrase is the same word in those two verses. In other words, in chapter 20, verse 10, there's a period of time for Satan to be in that lake of fire or in that amen. That's where he's completely destroyed. Amen. This same phrase is used in both Revelation 20:10 and Revelation 20:13-15 that we just read. Amen. Next. All right. So, Brother Branham says here, in questions and answers. Now, to get the word forever, look at the aeon. Did you notice here in the Bible, how many's ever heard it said, and aeons, and how many knows that aeon is a space of time? Why, sure, anybody knows that aeon is a space of time. And they shall burn for aeons, that's spaces of time, cast into the lake of fire and shall burn for aeons. Aeons means the spaces of time. They may burn for 100 million years in punishment, but finally they have to come to an end, to be extinct altogether. You see? So they could burn in that lake of fire for aeons, but they're not going to be burned for eternity. Aeons and eternity is two separate things. Amen. Remember, eternity comes from God. See, because everything that is not perfect is the perverted off of the perfect. And it had a beginning, so it must have an end. Next. But we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ has Zoe, God's own life, in us, and have eternal life. Not have life forever and ever. The sinner has life forever and ever, but we have eternal life. Amen? So you see the difference between forever and ever and eternal life. It's two different things. Amen. Let me get here where he's at so that I make sure I'm... All right. Okay. So Satan will also have his time in hell before being cast into the lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 2 to 3, and he laid hold on the dragon... the Lord, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. This is during the millennial reign that we're to be here on earth. Satan will be bound. In other words, he will be in his hell. He will be in his perpetual torment. Just like he's, you know, he has helped others be in that perpetual torment, you know. He will be in his perpetual torment, you know, or in his torment. But it's got a time limit. It's going to expire in 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit. Now, it's interesting that it uses bottomless pit because that's what hell is. It's a constant feeling that you're just falling and there's no end. Can you imagine that?
Amen.
Hey, who's ever had a dream that you're falling and there's no ending, there's no stopping to it? That's terrible.
Yep.
I've never had it, but I heard it's bad. It's terrible, right? But that's what hell is. It's a bottomless pit. And shut him up, shut Satan up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. So during that time, there will be no effects from Satan. Though you will see no effects from Satan. The way the earth was supposed to be before sin came into place, that's how the earth will be during that time. Amen. The nation, he will deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season.
That's right.
Amen. So that's another topic for another day.
Yeah.
Next. All right. How many has learned something?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. In summary, when I was putting this slide right here, I was like, should I put a picture of hell there? And I'm like, no, I'd rather put a picture of life.
Yeah,
put a picture of eternal life. Amen. It's usually when you see, you know, the topic of hell, you know, and they make it really interesting, like smoky and hell and a big old cave and Satan horns and all kinds to try to bring the attention. Well, this should bring the attention of the believer.
Right.
Amen. In summary, God is the only source of eternal life.
Yep.
All right. That means there's no beginning and no end. And that eternal life should be in you and me as believers. Right.
Right.
Next. There is no way that death, hell, and sinners will live eternally being punished. It doesn't make any sense. Because that means that they have to have the same eternal life that you have. And God doesn't work that way. And it doesn't agree with the word. Amen. Death, hell, and sinners have a beginning. Therefore, they have to have an end. God, who is eternal life, never had a beginning and never will have an end. And that means that you don't have an end if God is in you. Amen. Next. The sinner at this time is being tormented in hell. Right? And even the future ones that will die without Christ. That's where they're heading, to a bottomless pit. Right? Right now. But that torment will have to cease according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 13. We just clearly read. Amen. It will cease because hell is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. To be no more.
Amen.
Next. Satan is heading to the same place, not to be tormented day and night throughout all eternity. Because that means, Brother Branham said in one place, that means he'd be your brother. If Satan is to be tormented as in hell forever with pitchforks and torment, that means he has eternal life. And we know Satan can't have eternal life. Amen. Because that means he would be your brother. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord because we share the same eternal life. We share the same Father where it comes from. Amen. That's why we're brothers and sisters. But if Satan is your brother, I'm sorry. Amen. Tormented day and night. And you know what, saints? Nowadays, that's what the world is playing with. I don't know if you saw this latest video that came out the other day, this rap song by Lil Nas, I believe it is. And he came out. It's incredible what they display now. But he's actually having sex with the devil. And this rapper, he's a homosexual. So you can keep in your mind what's going on. In the video, this is what's happening, or what they're trying to portray. And so he comes out with a line of shoes, of sneakers, that have a Nike logo on it, which I believe Nike didn't say that they could produce those shoes. But they apparently supposedly have a drop of blood, human blood or something like that, within them or something. And their goal was to sell 666 pairs, which I believe they did. I don't know if they did. In 2 minutes, they sold that. This is how the world is so deceived. They play with Satan like it's nothing, like it's a game, and the world is heading towards this condition. If they don't get right, if God doesn't come in their life, and Satan's just back there laughing, you know. But he laughs just as much as people that disbelieve the word of God. People that go on and off with these doctrines and all these things like that, he laughs just as even loud then. He's already got the whole world. He's got them bamboozled with shoes with blood on it, human blood on it. But the ones that supposedly believe this word and are leaving this word, he's probably laughing at them even worse. Because he, at least the demons, they believe in God and tremble. Some of these people, they thought they believed in God, and they just throwing out their life away. The only thing you can do is pray for them. That's all you can do. There's nothing else you can do. Satan is heading to the same place, not to be tormented day and night throughout all eternity, but to also be annihilated for good. Amen. Thank God. Next. By you having eternal life in your soul, you have already conquered death, hell, Satan, and the second death. None of these things can ever harm the believer. Amen? Praise God. Give the Lord a cup of praise. I'm thankful. You have that power lying within you right now. Amen. Next. And Brother Branham says here, just to finish off, I believe this is the last slide. Brother Branham says here, we all know that the second death is the lake of fire, Revelations 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Of course, that means all those who were therein were cast into the lake of fire. Now then, I want to bring out something here for you. It no doubt will cause people to comment on my strange doctrine, which is not his strange doctrine. The Bible declares it. But see, that's what you have to watch. Brother Branham was pretty much alone proclaiming this in his day. All denominations believed that there was an eternal hell and that sinners were right now being burning in hell eternally, roasting in an everlasting, eternal roasting. And Brother Branham preached against this because it was a doctrine from hell, from the pits of hell. It was from Satan. But watch, but I stand here on the authority of the Word of God and deny that the unbeliever goes to an eternal hell and burns there eternally. And you know what? I stand with him.
Amen.
Amen. Because I don't see it any other way. I don't see it any other way. Amen.
Amen.
That's the last slide, brother. So I hope that something was said this tonight that would help you.
Yes,
amen. And when you are seeing these images of hell coming across your screens and across your YouTube videos and just bombarding all our children, you know, it's think of it where it comes from.
Right. Yeah, right.
And take it more seriously.
Right.
Amen. Let's take that more seriously as parents.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Do it in a wise manner.
Amen.
Amen. But take it seriously, amen, because this fourth dimension is real. Fourth dimension, I mean, all these images of demons, zombies, and everything else. And they're very slyly coming in and taking, trying to steal our children's minds by making it cute. Making it like smiley cats and all these kinds of things. But there's a spirit behind those things that leads to that come from the bottomless pit, which is hell. So hope something is that was said that would help you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord if we got through the content.
Amen.
You always think you're not going to get through it in time, but amen. Brother, let's sing something, brother. Think on these things.
Amen.
And just reflect back to that eternal life, amen, that God, amen, that you have in God, amen. We just thank God for that. Praise the Lord. What do we have?
Boy, Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Amen.
Number 97, River, 3:14. The world will try to satisfy that longing in your heart. You may search the world, but you will be just as before. You'll never find your satisfaction but in you.
Satisfy your soul. It's all in Him.
Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can change your heart, make you.
And just think about it tonight as we sing that next verse. If you don't know the Lord tonight, this is don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till, amen, make it right now. Make it right now. Seek God while He can still yet be found, the Bible says.
He can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy.
And only He can change your heart.
If anybody has a need of prayer, I'm more than glad to pray for you.
Give you peace, never knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too, for only Jesus can satisfy.
Let's sing that chorus one more time. Only Jesus.
Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can change your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy in heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy.
Once again,
only Jesus can satisfy your soul, and only He can change your heart, make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy. In heaven too, for only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't find any other refuge or joy but in that, in Jesus. Amen. He's the only thing that can really, truly change your heart, change your soul. And if you haven't experienced it, you have the opportunity to do so. Amen. Talk to a person that you trust. Amen. It doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be Brother Dale, but somebody that you believe is godly. Amen. And say, I want to know more. Amen. Amen. You know, in Esther's case the other day, she was talking to Zach. How would you think that you would be part of her getting the new birth? See? See, we don't know who we can influence with our life. Amen. So you just, that's why we have to be salty. Amen. At every cause, every way. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. I just want to make known really quick the money that was picked by, that the church gave to help, build the home for the family. They received it a couple of weeks ago and they're giving me updates as to when they started, building. I told them they don't have to do that. Just give me the finished project, and that when they do that, send me pictures, send me videos, and we'll show to you all. But they told me to tell you all that they're so thankful, and that God bless you, and really appreciate it. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. They're just very appreciative, and it really is going to help them in quite tremendously. So. We just thank God, thank God for Brother Dale and his heart, amen, to want to help out in that. And each and every one of you who individually helped as well to give, amen. God bless each and every one of you. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and let's be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to serve you, Lord. And Lord, I pray now that you would just help us to take these things into our heart and help us to meditate on them. And Lord, that it will help us draw closer to you. Bless your people, Lord, as they come, they leave. Lord, just watch over them. Keep them safe. Bring us back home safely. Bring us back to the house of God safely, Lord. on Sunday, Lord, and that we worship you in spirit and in truth, and be ready to feast upon your word, Lord. We just commit ourselves now into you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
My heaven.